brain and bought himself an aeroplane. So if you'll look for him on Halloween, you'll see him zip and zoom. No harm can befall him, no longer can they call him the Wobbling Goblin with the Broken Broom. Sky. Each evening, just as he would leave the ground, his radio would say,
"Control tower to Goblin, your broomstick is wobbling, you better make a landing right away."
It soon got so he could only ride when the witches took him piggyback, until at last he used his brain and bought himself an aeroplane. So if you'll look for him on Halloween, you'll see him zip and zoom. No harm can befall him, no longer can they call him the Wobbling Goblin with the Broken Broom.
That was Rosemary Clooney telling us a story about a wobbling goblin with a broken broom. And I really love the accordion, or the use of accordion in that song, where the control tower was represented by the like high pitch accordion note representing the airwaves. That was really inventive, I think, anyways. We've got more little ones piling in right now. I see a knight. We've got Captain America somewhere running around. A Ninja Turtle I saw. And lots of a snail even. And there was a very, very cute butterfly that was being held up, flying around. We are broadcasting live from the Westbrook Community Center. And there are lots of little kids running around. And the scariest part of all is that they're hopped up on sugar. But I used to be one of them, so I guess I can't really complain. But it's great to see that Halloween is live and well. Because for the past couple of years, I was very afraid that it wasn't being celebrated to the degree it should be. Too many health conscious parents out there right now. Just kidding. We're going to change things up a bit. We're going to have some Jelly Roll Morton for you. Here is the Wolverine Blues.
Thank you. It's the best that gold can buy. Not to speak of my fine etchings that will surely please your eye. Oh, fly.
Oh, fly.
Bye, bye.
Bye, bye.
Bye, bye.
Bye, bye.
Oh, fly.
Oh, fly.
Because you walked into his parlor unsuspecting little fly. You must hear my new Victrola, never fails to satisfy. We can play the latest music to the cue and hide it high. Bye bye,
bye bye,
oh fly,
oh fly,
oh fly,
oh fly,
bye bye,
bye bye.
Because you walked into his parlor, unsuspecting little fly. Yaddy. Yaddy. Come on out of that wheel. As a gentleman and scholar, by the spider to the fly.
All right. So that just about does it for today's episode of Little Bit of Soul. Our live Halloween broadcast from the UBC campus. We are going to have some more tasty treats coming up for you. We're going to interview some little ones, see what was going on in the haunted house over there in the community center, and find out what was so spooky in there. We've got one more tune for you, The Charmed Life, seeing as it certainly is. You are listening currently to Fats Waller with The Spider and the Fly, and before that we had some Laverne Baker with Voodoo Voodoo. Who knows what's going to happen next on the Halloween episode brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM. We're going to pass it on over to Emily in just a minute, who's going to take you to the next stages of our Halloween broadcast. Thanks so much for tuning in to Little Bit of Soul today. My name is Jade. Remember, you can always re-listen to podcasts on the Facebook page, Little Bit of Soul, CITR 101.9 FM. That's what you search. You like the page and find out what's going on the podcasts, on the episodes, and what's to come later on in the year. Okay, thanks so much, guys, for tuning in. Keep on in order to see what's going on next on CITR 101.9 FM.
Twice, whisper to me soft and low, that makes me feel so nice. Come on over, darling, and take me to that place, the one that puts a smile upon my face, that says we lead a charmed night. Just take a little look into each other's eyes, our biggest little fantasy has turned into reality. You know we live a charmed life. That says we lead a charmed life. I look out to my left and I look to my right. It's simple, but in front of me and back of me is nothing more than ecstasy. A charmed life. You know we live a charmed life. Say that little charmed.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the CITR Halloween Spooktacular Halloween Extravaganza, Hollows Weave and to and out of your ears here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the UNA Westbrook Community Center. We're in the Haunted Gymnasium. There's a lot of action going on. Just have an incredible special broadcast from Jade, Soul Sandwich, delivering some of the spookiest soul foundationals, classic standards is the word I was looking for, that we've heard all year. Because Halloween only comes once a year. What do you think about that,
really?
Emily? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know, for some people it comes every day.
What does that mean?
That means every day is a time to be spooky. Every day is a time to dress up in one way or another, take on a persona that you wouldn't normally take on, and go out into the world. I really think every day should be treated more like Halloween.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's true. And you know what? I know you had some spooky talking points according to this line of thinking. We're going to have some time today over the next hour until 6 p.m. Then you're going to hear some new content. We got a new Arts on Air episode at 6:30. But until then, we're going to be spooking you right here live from Westbrook. So right now it is 5:15 and we've got 45 minutes of unbridled 45. Carnage. I can't believe they let us on the air live from this gymnasium, this children's event.
It's so spooky.
Truly, the kids have taken over. It is a Children of the Corn type situation.
Children of the Corn?
Are you aware of that film?
No.
Well, you see the children of the town, comparable to other foreign horror classics, such as
The Birds?
Who Could Kill a Child? Yes, except the birds are children.
Are children?
Yes,
I figured,
they're like Amish or something. I don't know. There's a cornfield. Anyhow, but yeah, we're going to have the next 45 minutes just to talk about sundry topics such as you were saying, you know, it's like, when did you stop dressing up, doing the trick-or-treating? We're here now as correspondents of CITR 101.9 FM. But the fact of the matter is, do we belong here? Are we authentically within the Halloween experience?
I think I am.
Like the skeleton boy.
Yeah, Skeleton Boy,
that,
very into the experience.
That is like a model child. That's like a put me in your Welch's grape juice commercial child.
Your Welch's grape juice.
Look at that
commercial.
Hair. He has like MacGyver
no,
hair.
No, it's true. It's like, you know, if Target was like advertising their Halloween costumes. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, we should
probably.
There's a little violet. Is where, Jade, can you describe what we just saw?
We just saw a little pilot in an airplane. Walk by waving, or I should say flying by.
I actually have a costume that's like similar in nature to that, where it looks like you're like riding in a plane or like on something, except it's a dolphin. So like the front half of the dolphin comes out of my, well, it's supposed to come out like down where you'd be riding the dolphin, but because it's a kid's costume and I'm like 5'7", it comes out of my chest. So the front of the dolphin comes out of my chest, the back of the dolphin goes out the back. It's like I got impaled by a dolphin.
Hey, look at that man in a Bigman suit. So, you know, it's that time of year we think about, like, how, when we used to dress up, how we used to dress up. If we still dress up, I mean, is not every day a matter of putting on our social costume so that we can meet the world according to its, its set of mores and norms?
Yeah, it's just Halloween has a different set of norms associated with it, so.
Yes, and those norms involve, this kid's about to cry. We better put on some music. This song expresses, I think, the real, and you know what, I just heard him say something about not getting any candy. Why do kids dress up? It's because of the candy.
Yeah, you want to pander to the...
And, Emily, you have this special song just for this occasion.
Yeah,
can you tell
do.
Us anything about it?
It's about, you know, a great feeling of emptiness within you, and only one thing can fill it. So let's play.
Candy on the beach, there's nothing better. But I like candy when it's wrapped in a sweater. Someday soon I'll make you Look, there's the haunted house. Let's go inside.
Okay.
We're currently watching a video called Haunted House, Halloween Songs for Children.
It's really scary.
It's pretty frightening. Look at their dead eyes. Anyhow, a ghost. Tell me about your Haunted House experiences. Maybe the best Haunted House, the worst Haunted House you've ever been to. There's a Haunted House here at the UNA. We were going to go in and we were going to interview some kids. Unfortunately, it's so big. It's actually really busy here.
Popular. There are many people here, most of them under 3 feet tall.
Yes, and I think we do a lot of live broadcasts where we're often, well, I was going to say shortest people, which is true, but no, also which aren't this busy, and it's just, like, so packed right now. We've been trying to grab a few interviews, but, you know, kids are shy, and, you know, they're interested in the games, and, you know.
And we don't have any candy to give them.
Yeah, we don't have any candy. So
we're working on it. If you have any candy
and you want us to give it out as a matter of, you know, enhancing, it's our new initiative on the air, Candy on the Air, just give, you know, send us a letter with your candy inside to CITR. What's our address? CITR, that's not our address. Hold on. Here we go. CITR Radio, LL500, 6133 University Boulevard, Vancouver, BC, V6T1Z7. And send it to us as a letter, please.
1Z1?
1Z1. 1Z1. Yes, thank you. Send it to us as a letter, please, so you do not have to pay the additional fee for import. Am I encouraging people to break the law?
Well, would that be construed as breaking the law? Most of it is not packaged for individual sale.
Well, we're not selling it. They're giving it to us.
Interesting.
Anyhow, that's CITR Radio, LO500, 6133 University Boulevard, Vancouver, BC, V6T1Z1. And give it to us. It's part of our Putting Candy on the Airwaves initiative. This is the Haunted House song. Thank you. So for those of you just tuning in, this is the spooky spoop. What does spoopy mean? Like, what does that meme mean? Yeah, what kind of meme is that?
I think it's just kind of like a, you know, how we say like problem. We say it promble now.
I've never heard anyone
like
say that
small,
in my entire life. What
small,
are you talking about?
We say small.
Oh, okay.
Like that kind of, so, you know, it's cute. It's cute. It's like spooky was not cute enough, so we were spooky.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. I feel like spooky was already the cute variation of a much more serious term.
What's that term?
Horrified. Anyhow, this is the original theme song for Halloween, the John Carpenter film, which changed the face of horror as we know it. I've got to say, inside this brightly lit gymnasium, we are sitting across from a cactus toss. I don't know why that's at a Halloween gymnasium event, but it's still very cool. It's kind of a multidisciplinary, multi-push-it together collage. What were you calling earlier? Like multi-phase? Like lots of things together. Crossover, mashup. Crossover, it's a mashup Halloween event. And unfortunately, we have not been able to get into the true horror in the other room. But right now, we are securing some interviews. Our field reporter, Jade, is out on the look for some content. She is coming back now. Jade, tell us on your wireless microphone.
What's it like out there?
What's it like?
There is a lot of action. Little ones are running around. And there are a lot of activities which the little ones seem to be enjoying very much.
Maybe what we could do is have you do kind of a walk around and like introduce us to all the various events.
Definitely, we can do that. So right now I am standing at the witch's nose where little ones are turning around. They're closing their eyes and having to put the nose on the witch, trying to place it perfectly. It seems like it's a variation of pin the tail on the donkey. Oh, but it does not look like the nose is in the proper spot for this little princess here. We also have the chopstick ninja, where I believe you are testing your chopstick skills by moving candies from one bowl to another using chopsticks. Now, you have to keep in mind that the bowls are about 3 meters away from each other, so there is a lot of running and having to master your chopstick techniques here. And this little princess is doing quite well right now. What else do we have? It looks like we have spider ball, where little ones are having to shoot a ball into the mouth of a big, scary spider. And then over in the other corner, we have monster beanbag toss, where you're trying to get a beanbag through a plank of wood that has a hole in it where there are bats in the way. It looks like little ones are trying to, and there we have one right in to the hole. It looks like this one has taken the advice of his mother using the proper techniques for throwing the beanbag into the hole. We also have the cactus ring toss. This one does seem to be quite challenging. Been giving even adults a bit of a tricky time.
And now, you see, adults for this particular game, Jade, they kind of have an advantage. Number one, because they're not so intimidated by the face of the cactus, which is, kind of like condescending, a bit smug, like, ha ha ha, you can't get the ring on me. But also the height factor, of course, is a big deal as well.
Yes, I'd say that's the biggest.
Two princesses, in fact, a Spider-Man princess. And they're just walking right up to it and dunking on that smug cactus. Like, they are just... oh, my gosh. This other princess just flipped over the...
One of the cactuses.
The blown out her mother or guardian... kicking it. Oh, my gosh. This is brutal.
Quite a scary
Halloween
sight.
Carnage here at the Westbrook Center. Emily, what do you think about that?
It's bringing out the worst in people, you know?
You know what's been bringing out the best in me, though? I've been seeing a lot of mashup costumes. And you know what? My favorites, there's a Spider-Man or Batman insignia on every kind of costume. It's like, were these children like, oh, I want to be Spider-Man? And then, like, the gendered norms come in and their mom or dad is like, you can't be Spider-Man. You have to be a princess with the Spider-Man insignia on your chest. Or
right.
Were they just really wanting to be a princess that is, like, associated or a fan of Spider-Man?
Right. I have no desire to be Spider-Man, so no comment.
Let's continue making our trip around this gymnasium.
Maybe we can find some little ones to interview, or maybe some parents about costumes. I see the happy pilot that we were talking about earlier, who's playing with the blocks. It seems...
It's true. And Jade is going to see if we can get an interview with this intrepid little pilot. Again, we are live on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the Westbrook Community Center. Is our correspondent with you, John. Oh, looks like we have secured an interview.
So we are here with Amy. As we were talking about earlier, we were talking about this fabulous little costume and this happy little pilot. What was the inspiration, Amy, for your little one's costume this year?
Well, his great-grandpa was a World War II pilot. He was a Pathfinder, and he flew a Lancaster plane in World War II. And he actually wrote a book called Lancaster to Berlin. And so the inspiration for that was his great-grandpa from World War II.
Wonderful. That's a great story behind that costume.
Yeah. And so, but we're nicknaming him Benny Bishop because his name is Benjamin. So after Billy Bishop, he's Benny Bishop.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. And how is he finding wearing the costume this year? He seems quite happy.
Yeah, I think he likes it. This morning when we went to daycare, he had the costume on and we opened the door and he said, hi, really loudly to the daycare workers. So
wonderful. Was it hard getting through doors with that one?
Yeah, he kind of took another baby.
Right. Oh, okay. What some pilots are meant to do, right? Well, it's wonderful to hear the story. Thanks so much for giving us your time, and we hope you have a wonderful rest of the Halloween.
This has run out of power.
All right. So we are still walking around the gymnasium a bit. Perhaps we can go and find out what's so spooky and haunted in the haunted house. We are going to keep on walking around a little bit. We are going to also cut to some music right now. What do we have on the list next? We have Orfesk 2, the Roll Match. Thank you.
back at it here from the Westbrook Community Center for the Haunted Halloween CITR Spooktacular Extravaganza.
Oh, yeah.
Emily, what are you doing right now?
I am hula-hooping on air as we speak.
How is that possible? How do you have a microphone while you're hula-hooping?
It's all about the hips, John. Just a little back and forth is all you need to keep the hula hoop going.
There you have it. 2016, October 31st, Halloween at the Westbrook Community Center on unceded Musqueam land here at the UNA Community Center. It's all about the hips.
It's all about the hips.
Oh, no, we have 15 more minutes. No, it's not just all about the hips. We have more to talk about. What we just heard was the Skeleton Dance from Silly Symphonies. Before we heard two extra spooky tracks from Roll Mock, project of Patrick Garrity, before deciding to focus his full attentions on Gal Grayson, which just released a cassette quite recently as well, actually. Emily,
yeah.
We've got 15 minutes left. You have this whole list of Halloween questions. Can we do a Halloween panel discussion?
I'm so sorry.
Would that be possible?
I just threw a loop at a child.
Oh, my gosh. The carnage
is an accident.
Horrendous here.
I'm so sorry, child.
Can we do like a panel discussion about our favorite Halloweens? And Jonathan, who's helping us on the boards today, is going to be maybe chiming in a bit, too, because, you know, you got the technical knowledges. For instance, you know how Halloween started, and maybe that could be the starting point.
Sure. Well, I may have a few of the details misremembered, but to the best of my knowledge, it started out as a pagan holiday called All Hallows' Eve, and the belief was that all of the spirits of people who had died, so whether that's friends or family members or anything like that, all the spirits would come out on the end of October, and this day that they called All Hallows' Eve, and they would come out to haunt you for anything that you did that was bad to them while they were alive. And the origin of trick-or-treating was that you would give them treats to make them go away. So you'd give these spirits offerings. I'm not sure what form they did it. They may have just left them out, or they may have carried them with them. But the idea was that this would make them forgive you for anything bad you might have done to them.
Well, it's true what they say. Times have changed. I mean, we do not negotiate with spirits. We do not. We as the people. Sorry, Emily has something.
It's changed, but it also hasn't, because I mean, I still give kids the candy to make them go away. So, the spirit is
people
the same.
People are beating that cactus up.
Yeah, I mean, it's good.
And the UNA volunteer just stands idly by, unable to do anything to these so-called knights in shining armor. I think, if anything, Halloween demystifies a lot of ordinary conventions. You see, there's nothing special or chivalrous about being a knight, warrior, or Superman.
I was a knight in kindergarten.
You know what? We're all just people underneath the armor.
I was not. I was a true knight.
Under the costumes. Emily,
yes.
Please tell us a bit about your questions that you've brought here today.
I have brainstormed some really, really, really interesting questions.
Really interesting?
They are really interesting. Do you scare easily?
Not at all.
Really?
I used to be incredibly frightened of basically everything until I was about 11 or 12. Like, if the lights were off, I wouldn't go on roller coaster rides. Horror movies were incredibly scary to me. And then basically my dad went through an extremely prolonged bankruptcy, and I learned that the scariest things in life have nothing. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. I learned that the scariest things in life have little to do with things like, you know, and then I just developed a very kind of crappy existential attitude. And now, honestly, very little is frightening to me. Was mugged once. It was kind of scary, but not that scary, to be honest. It was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You see, it's like, You can go at any time, you know? And when you go, oh my god, that child has moved the cactus across the entire gymnasium.
That's pretty...
What the heck? This... Never become a volunteer. How are you supposed to deal with the situation? This child is not taking no for an answer, and their parent is nowhere to be found. How do you enforce?
I mean,
what do you do?
This gym is just bridled chaos, you know?
This is a vision.
You keep them in the gym.
This is
they can
a
do whatever they want. We have a skeleton doing a
dancing. In front of us. A spaceman.
Yeah. Yeah, lots going on.
Well, you know,
volunteers are bringing back. You know, it's all about the good times.
The cactus or the volunteer?
The volunteer. The cactus isn't real. It's not a real cactus. Emily, it's an inflated balloon.
It's a real cactus.
Yeah.
John.
Anyhow, so afterwards, I didn't find much scary because I learned that scary things are mostly not scary. Horror films aren't really frightening. They're just kind of like...
I find them, they can surprise me. Like,
they're stimulating.
They shock you, you know, something jumps out, but, like, it takes a lot to actually get me, like, riled up, like, feel like I'm going to have nightmares.
Shade, what frightens you?
Cults.
Cults. Jade said cults. Can you expand on what you mean by that, Jade? Like, any given cult, or is there a specific cult is coming after you?
No, there's not a specific cult, but the idea of... you not knowing exactly whether or not you are in one, that's what is kind of freaky. But then again, I mean, there are cult-like groups or activities that you do with people. Like, when do you say it is a cult and when something isn't a cult?
Right, so you're afraid of ending when up do in you a cult really without knowing it.
Yeah, when do you really differentiate between what is and what isn't a cult?
Do you think CITR is a cult?
Perhaps, you see.
It's hard to tell.
I'm not telling.
You're not telling, John.
The reason I don't spook easily is because I'm actually a lizard.
You're actually a wizard or a warlock?
Lizard.
I can't deal lizard. With warlocks.
It's a
lizard.
Yeah, lizard.
A lizard.
Yeah, a lizard. Not a wizard. Lizard.
Can you fly?
Lizard. Do you see how like my voice is getting lower and lower? It's, what, can I fly? Excuse me? What kind of lizard is able to fly?
A dragon.
Jonathan, what scares you?
I'm very uncomfortable around needles. I'm not sure if that's really classified as fear, though. I think that's somewhat justified. I've had a few bad experiences with them, with new doctors or nurses that perhaps weren't as qualified as they should have been.
That does sound
terrifying. Good answer. Knives actually kind of put me on edge, like, or any kind of bladed, like, the idea of a cut is very evocative in my mind, like, for some reason it makes me very, I think I used to get a lot of paper cuts as a child, and never had a serious cut injury, but, like, it was just, like, kind of, you know, put me on edge, the idea that your skin can split open like that.
I'm pretty afraid.
So would you say sharp edges put you on edge?
The edge, you two's, the edge puts me on edge. Now let's find some, No, everyone, please continue doing. I'm just gonna put some YouTube. I'm just gonna be over here putting some YouTube.
One thing I'm afraid of is having my legs stop working without warning, because that actually happened to me. I sat down actually to get some Halloween candy out of my bowl, and then when I tried to stand up, I couldn't. My legs did not work, and they didn't work again until Valentine's Day, and I still don't know why. So
what was the length of time? Like, they didn't work until Valentine's Day.
About a week, because I would ration my Halloween candy, so I still had some in February.
I do like that. That's how you told, like, that's how you were able to figure out how time was passing.
Well,
rationing.
I thought I was being cosmically punished for like eating candy, because candy's bad for you. So I thought that's why like the powers that be made my legs break, but. Nope, probably not.
So what other questions do you have on your sheet?
Oh, I have so many questions. What is your favorite, like, Halloween creature or, like, scary monster? Do you have one? You must have one.
I like the jack-o'-lantern. I think he's really fun. He comes in a lot of shapes and sizes, which I think is cool.
So, a jack-o'-lantern that people carve, or some kind of like mystical animated jack-o'-lantern?
Just the jack-o'-lantern.
Just
that's
the,
my
the
yes.
Pumpkin.
My answer would
the
be yes.
Pumpkin.
My answer would be yes.
Yes, the pumpkin.
Yes. No, my answer would be yes.
Yes.
Any of the classic Halloween monsters are always pretty good. Frankenstein's a good one. A lot of roots in literature. I quite enjoyed reading the book. It's nice. It's very different to the way he's portrayed in classical culture. He's a bit more misunderstood than legitimately scary, I think.
I think misunderstandings are so frightening. Like, I actually, if I could list one thing that really truly scares me, and of course I recognize that I occupy like a privileged position in like a great deal of aspects, ways in which, you know, certain situations are not as frightening to me owing to the fact that like I am safer in those situations than many people. But misunderstandings, like the impossibility of truly knowing, I think that's something that is incredibly frightening. Like how can you know 100% of like how something happened? Like cereal, for instance, you know, the idea of like not, you know, like a screwy murder case, like where every side seems to be telling some degree of the truth, like the unknowable in circumstances like that, I find to be particularly frightening,
like really deep, profound ambiguity.
That's
known to be everyone is pretty,
and Scream 2 is also
Scream
extremely
2?
Frightening.
I've never seen Scream 2.
It's really spoopy.
Spoop. I'm saying this because it makes John laugh. And now let's listen to some YouTube.
Nope, we're back. Okay, so we've got 5 minutes left. Let's go through some more questions.
Okay. How old were you when you stopped trick-or-treating? And what made you stop?
I'm going to pass on answering this question.
I think it was probably around when I moved to North America. I left a lot of friends behind in Europe, and I think Halloween just wasn't the same without the same friend group who I trick-or-treating with, so that was probably when I was around 10, I would say.
Right, yeah. Halloween is a time where you get into a routine with the same people you go trick-or-treating, and any upset to that? What about you, Jade?
I'd say the last time that I went trick-or-treating was at the age of about 13, which is kind of late in the game, so, you know.
Did you feel like people were judging you for being too... Did you feel like people were judging you for being old?
Not necessarily, and it's not really that I cared very much either. It was more so just to have something to do and, I guess, celebrate and get candy, you know, be part of the spirit and... part of the community, I guess, because Halloween is very much a community event, right? Everyone has to participate in handing out the candy and carving a pumpkin and putting it on the stoop. So I guess it's also sort of about that, right? Being part of what's going on around you.
Right, and you go past those houses that are all dark, and then you think
those were the worst.
Those were the worst, just the worst people.
Yeah,
in those
no
houses.
Halloween spirit, exactly.
Absolutely. See? None. My parents are those people now.
They're
I kind
of
feel
people,
bad that I'll never be a homeowner, because, like, at least that kind of home.
Right.
Because, like, I've always loved the idea of, like, being 30. And, like, just being at home and, like, give... I don't know why 30 is the number in my head. I'm probably quite a bit older than this if I'm spending Halloween by myself at home. Although I spent Halloween by myself at home this year. So, you know, just being... You know, giving candy out is
I
very
know.
Delightful to me.
Well, a lot of apartment buildings, the kids go trick-or-treating in the apartment building.
I'm going to live in a blimp, actually.
You're
going to
live
thing.
In a blimp. That's pretty inaccessible for trick-or-treaters.
I agree, except for that little kid. He had the plane
Yeah,
costume.
The kid in the plane, only kids in planes. Astronauts will be able to get there.
You know what
made?
I realized? When I first came to Vancouver, I didn't realize that going to malls for candy was a thing.
Is that a thing here?
Is that true? That
going
that's a
to
thing?
A ball for
yeah,
candy?
Yeah, where they hand out
a
candy.
Mall. Oh, a mall. Yeah, they do that a lot of places. They do that like everywhere.
I've never experienced
that. Oh, they do that in West
myself.
Edmonton Mall, actually.
Yeah, they do that everywhere.
I've never done
also,
that.
Also, the fact in Vancouver that fireworks are a thing on Halloween was
yeah,
so strange.
Vancouverites
yeah,
love fireworks during Halloween. It's because of the Yahooligans that we have in our city.
The Yahooligans?
The Yahooligans.
Are you a Yahooligan?
It's the West
what
Coast Yahooliganism.
What constitutes a Yahooligan?
I'm
John,
probably a no-hooligan.
Makes someone a Yahoo?
They're like disaffected because they're like
Yahoo,
the browsing platform,
just,
which isn't like, you know, really enjoyed that much or thoroughly,
yeah,
but
see,
somehow is still quite prolific.
Very good.
Does that answer the question?
Sure. Yes.
Hooligan. We have two more minutes, so give me your best ones.
Give me
Emily.
I don't know. Oh, there's such a
What were your most notable Halloween costumes?
Good call.
I went as the Grim Reaper 3 years in a row.
I really did not understand what you just said at all. What was that?
I went as the Grim Reaper 3 years in a row.
Okay.
Because it was basically there was a veil over my face and it was black and I could see through it, but you couldn't see into it.
That's ideal.
And it was so frightening to people. I remember like parents like jumping out from behind the door to be like, "Surprise, kids," and then they would get scared because I wouldn't have a face.
Right.
And I still don't.
Well, excellent.
There is something really creepy about masks, I find.
Yeah.
Because you can't make out what facial expressions are going on.
Right.
Behind.
Yeah. If you want to make your costume instantly scarier, put on no matter how much makeup you have on, you need the uncanniness of a mask to really. Yeah. I used to like volunteer like working at a haunted house. So like I know what gets people scared. Yeah.
Right.
Which there's always going to be those teenagers who are like, I'm not scared. But you just have to ignore them because they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. What was your most notable costume, Emily?
I was a traffic light.
Oh, that's a good
in
one.
In grade four, which was pretty cool.
Did you walk across the street and mess some cars up?
I mean, I think they could tell. I was just like a fourth grader in a felt suit. Last year, I was really happy with my costume last year. I was a goat, just like a standard goat.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I feel like I rocked it. So. Yeah.
And I've been a sheep before.
Yeah.
My friend was Bo Peep.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
So that was good.
Yes.
The most notable one for me, though, was a palm tree. That one was good. And then I had a like headdress, like a homemade like headpiece that had the leaves and like some coconut sitting on top there. That was a really good one. I love that. Homemade is all.
Yeah. Because that's part of the fun is making your costume and hitting up the Value Village and like finding. I've based whole costumes off this weird thing I found at Value Village that one time. So
yeah, leading up to it.
What about you, Jonathan?
I've definitely, hearing John mention the Grim Reaper costume, I definitely remember going as a skeleton with a scythe of some sort, so some spin-off off the Grim Reaper character, I suppose. And the other one that sticks in my memory, and I have no idea what the actual character I was meant to be portraying was, but I remember wearing a burlap sack, and I'm not sure what else, but it's always stuck with me, even if I can't remember what exactly it was for.
My money's on potato.
Potato? Yeah, it could have been. Could have been.
I got to add on. I just got to jump back on the mic. You know, that scythe? Badass. Badass accessory for a small child to have.
Yeah, you can poke. Are a lot of fun.
It's true.
You know, people could come for your trick-and-treat bag. You poke them.
Trick-and-treat.
The trick-and-cheat bag.
The trick-and-cheat bag.
You poke them. You know, you give them the business if they try and give you the business. Hello.
Oh, that's the idea, isn't it? Intimidate all the adults into giving you candy.
Emily, you should give this delightful guest the microphone.
Do you want to say hi? Maybe drink it off the... Do you want to say hi to the microphone? Okay.
Nope.
They're just here to observe.
Just too aloof.
Maybe she's a member of that cult that's looking for Jade.
Maybe she's a ghost. And we're just imagining things right now. There's just one staring
us
in the
face. Well, she's keeping us thinking, so.
Keeping us thinking. Anyhow, do you have any more? We've got a bit more time before we can fade out.
I have many questions, but like, which is a good one? Which is a good one? Oh, do you have a favorite like Halloween or like horror movie or like... like a spooky movie or like a scary movie or like a movie you always watched around this time? I always watch the Scooby-Doo Ghoul School movie.
I have very fond memories of watching, and you mentioned one of these earlier, the like Disney Channel Halloween movies, like Boogie Monster or Halloween Town.
I was so into the Halloween Town
Halloween
trilogy.
Town,
trilogy.
Shut up.
But they changed
Really?
They changed the actress like
I'm okay. All right. This has been John. Thank you for joining me. They're going to keep going. I'm going to go check out this right now.
Okay. You're going to, where are you?
Favorite?
Going?
Oh, you know what? I actually started watching a really good movie last night. It's pretty hilarious and quirky. It's called House, and it's a Japanese film from the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's this, like, demon cat that, like, kills people. And
is it scary or just very, like,
it's weird and surreal? It's very weird and spooky in the all of its weirdness, you know?
Right.
That just because like it's so movie. Out there and, you know, there are so many shots that just cut and a weird witch lady and a haunted house.
That's sort of what I hear A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night is like. Have you seen that movie?
No.
That's another one I want to see.
I've heard of that one.
It's supposed to be like really eerie. Mm. Eerie.
I've never been much of a horror movie fan, so I can't say I've really seen anything or any favorites from around Halloween. Even as a little kid, I never particularly enjoyed Scooby-Doo.
Did you ever watch the Snoopy Great Pumpkin?
Oh, that's a good one.
Situation.
Yeah, that was good.
I never really got exposed to Snoopy in Europe, but yeah, sounds like we had a very very sad childhood over here.
I never got exposed to Snoopy in Europe. Okay, wow, the cultural differences.
Yeah, so what's the difference? Is there anything different that you do over in Europe?
In Ireland.
For Halloween?
Or are the types of costumes different? Like, are there a lot of, mossy rocks?
I can't say I've seen too many of those. Costumes, I think, are relatively similar. I'd say one of the few things that's changed is trick-or-treating. Not sure if it's a continental thing or just different neighborhoods, but over here, it seems that just showing up to somebody's doorstep with a bucket or a bag to receive candy in seems to be about all you need to do. But I remember being told that I should have some kind of joke or performance piece or something that I should do.
That's really stressful.
In exchange for the candy. So
we had extended rhymes that we could say, but it was definitely not required.
I just remember it being something that my mother was telling me that when she used to go out trick-or-treating as a kid,
wow.
It was sort of an exchange, like it was a trick for a treat.
Oh, okay, okay.
So that you give a trick and the person will give you a treat in return.
Wow. Yeah, that seems more reciprocal rather than these kids showing up all entitled and demanding candy. Actually, story related to that, we always would say this rhyme, like, trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat, not too big, not too small, just the size of Montreal. I thought Montreal was a fake place that was made up for the purpose of that rhyme. So I actually, that's the first time I heard of Montreal, and it took me a while to realize it was real. Or I don't even know if it is real. Is Montreal real?
I think so.
Well, I mean, if none of us have seen it, it's not real, right?
We're not... We're not sure if Montreal is real. Questioning everything. Do you know, John?
This has been the Halloween Haunted House Extravaganza Westbrook Bonanza, live from the Community Center hub of UBC Point Grey on unceded Coast Salish Musqueam land. You've been listening to CITR 101.9 FM broadcasting live. Do you have any last thoughts for us, Emily, for this final? Do you have a final thing for us to ponder as we sweep into the night with a track from Cult Babies, Good Death, off their album, the Cult Babies EP? A final question for us.
I just invite all the listeners to reflect on what their favorite Halloween has been. That's all I got.
And that's all we have as well. Thank you. Good night. At 6:30, Arts on Air at 7. One of my favorite shows here at CITR. We've got GAC with... oh my gosh. Yes, thank you. Exploding Head Movies. And undoubtedly, I'll have some fun theme tonight as GAC is the spookiest man I know. But truly a harrowed face on my apparition right now. Anyhow, here's some music. Thanks. Tune back. Keep on keeping on.